you have a Bible with you, do open it to Colossians and chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we're looking at these verses, from particularly verses 4 to 7. We're going to particularly focus on actually verses 6 and 7. They're wonderful verses and great verses actually for the start of a new year as well. Great verses for that. I wonder if you're like a lot of people, I guess, at this particular point in this particular year. Because if ever people were looking for a new dawn with the start of a new year, it's this year, isn't it? I don't think I've ever heard so many people saying, I hope it's a better year than last. I guess a lot of people say that a lot of the time. We always want the next year to be better than the one that's gone. But this year is very much of a case of, well, let's forget 2020 and get on to 2021 as quickly as possible. Of course, the next year is in God's hands. We don't know what 2021 holds. But I wonder what you will want to be happening in 2021. You might desperately want to get the vaccine. You might desperately not want to get the vaccine. People have different views. You might desperately want to be able to see family and friends again in the way you always did. I have actually come across some people who said, you know what, I quite like just being on my own. It's quite nice being an introvert who's just able to not have too many people around. Some people will feel like that. Some people can't wait to get back into work as normal. Others, well, it's quite nice, isn't it? Just picking up a pay packet without actually doing anything. All sorts of thoughts about the year ahead, I'm sure. But as a Christian, what are you hoping for in the year ahead? If you had a resolution for yourself for the coming year, what would it be? What would it be? There are all sorts of resolutions that do the rounds. All sorts of resolutions to tell you that if you follow this resolution, if you follow this course of life in 2021, if you follow everything the government says, if you defy everything the government says, all will be well. Life will be great. Life will improve. But our passage this morning reminds us in verse 3, which I did hint at as we did the reading, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Whatever you're wanting out of 2021, remember that it's in Christ that are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him is life. As Paul emphasizes again and again in the letter to the Colossians. He says in verse 4, I'm saying this so that no one will deceive you with arguments that sound reasonable. All sorts of reasonable arguments for living your life in any particular way. But remember, we live in Christ. He is our life. So particularly from verses 6 and 7, I want us to focus on four words or phrases based around this. Received, rooted, built up, established. And then we'll finish with gratitude. So first of all, received. Sometimes it's important to look back. New Year is all about looking ahead, isn't it? But there are certain ways as Christians in which we should look back. Listen to what Paul says in verse 6. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord. Paul is writing to Christians. He's writing to Christians in this ancient city of Colossae, which was in what's now modern-day Greece. It no longer exists, Colossae, but it was in Greece back then. And he's talking about something, first of all, in verse 6, that happened in their past. As Christians, they could look back to a time when they received Christ Jesus as Lord. Now, many of us gathered this morning, are Christians. There may be some of us who aren't, but I'm guessing most of us are. And if we are, then we can look back and realise that there was a time when we received Christ Jesus as Lord. For some people, it's a very specific moment in time. They can remember it to almost the hour at which it happened. When they repented of their sin, they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. For others, it's perhaps a little more hazy. They know there's a time when they weren't a Christian, and now they know they are, but they're not sure exactly when the line was crossed, but they know that Christ Jesus is their Lord now. For still others, they had a childlike faith when they were very young. They don't remember a time when they weren't at all. They've known Christ Jesus as Lord since they were tiny. But what happens when you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Whether we can remember when it happened or not. What has happened if you've received him as Lord? Well, you've received Jesus as Lord and Saviour because you knew there was nothing else that could give you life with God. You came to the realisation that you were dead in your sin. You came to the realisation that life was empty. You came to the realisation that you needed forgiveness of your sin in order for your life to be made full as you came into God's family, as you trusted in Jesus. You realised that life was nothing without Christ, less than nothing, it was death without him. I can remember back to my conversion. I'm one of those people who can. I was converted when I was 16 years of age. I'd grown up in a Christian home, and my parents will be glad to hear that I think I knew the gospel before I ever became a Christian. I'd heard it enough times, well explained. I could explain it to somebody else, but I wasn't a Christian. And I knew it. I knew I was dead in my sin. But at age 16, on a camp in Wales, for some reason, when somebody there preached the gospel and I saw other people my age who had come to believe it and trust in Jesus themselves, I was convicted of my sin and I trusted in Jesus myself. I asked him to be my Lord and Saviour. And at that moment, he was all I wanted. And I knew he was all I needed, even though I was such a new Christian. I knew that in him was life. I trusted him alone. My salvation. And that's what it is to receive Christ Jesus as Lord. I think probably the most enthusiastic evangelist I've been in many ways was immediately after I became a Christian. It's often the way, isn't it? You want everybody else to have what you've got, to receive what you have received. You love Jesus, you rely on Jesus, you've got a lot to learn about Jesus still and life with him. But he is everything. He is everything. You've received Christ Jesus. Look back to that. Remember that. Remember the point where you realised that he was all you need. So then, verse 6. Just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. And this last year is one that will either have sharpened your focus on Jesus as you look to him, so that you lean on him more, or it may be a year which has knocked you off course. It may be a year that has left you somewhat less inclined to trust in Jesus, to hear his voice. Which is it? There may have been fluctuations through the year with that as you've gone on. But Paul is reminding us, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. So how do you go about living in Jesus? Well, first of all, be rooted in him. Be rooted in Jesus. We read Psalm 1 earlier. You might want to turn back to it. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1 talks about two sorts of people, and there are really just two sorts of people, the righteous and the wicked. Happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. He meditates on it day and night. This is the righteous person. This is the Christian who has come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that person like? Verse 3 of Psalm 1. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. This has been a year where I've got out walking rather more than I'm used to. It's just been one of those years. We've had to go outside to do all sorts of things, haven't we? And I enjoy walking out in the countryside. I've taken up photography a little bit, and I really enjoy it. It helps me to see God's creation with fresh eyes in many ways. I have to look more closely and pick out the beauty that is there. But one of the things you notice when you walk, especially as you get higher up, is where trees tend to grow. Lower down, on the floodplain, they can grow pretty much anywhere. But as you get higher up, water's a bit more scarce. It runs off the land more quickly. And you notice where the trees are on hillsides. They're wherever a stream runs. And they cling to the banks of the stream or the river. It's especially noticeable, I think, in the Lake District, when you go on a boat down some of the lakes and look at either side of you, the steep sides, and you see the trees, for some reason, in a line down the hillside. Ah, there's a stream there. There is something for their roots to sink into and draw nutrients from so that they grow. Any plant, of course, needs good roots if it's going to thrive. It needs deep roots that can draw on the nutrients that are in the soil and on the water that is in the soil so that it will be healthy. Well, Paul says, be like that man in Psalm 1 who's planted by a river so that his roots sink down and drink from the living water. Be rooted in Jesus. Are you, as a Christian, sinking your roots down into the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you seeking to grow, which is what Paul has been already talking about in verse 3, in wisdom and knowledge that comes from Jesus Christ? Are you drawing on him, on what he says? How are you going to do that? Well, by prayerfully listening to his word. And this is his word, the Bible. Read your Bible. Prayerfully. I know it's a very basic application in the Christian life. Read your Bible and pray. And it shouldn't be the application of every sermon. Or in some ways it should. And there's more to say about the Christian life. Of course there is. But if we start, or if we stop, sorry, praying and reading God's word, our roots will wither and die. We need to sink our roots into the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you prayerfully reading your Bible, asking that God would speak to you through it and transform you by it as it points you to Jesus? Be rooted in God's word. If you find that hard, get some good Bible notes. Ask another Christian, what Bible notes do you use that help you? Or maybe as you read, just have a couple of questions in mind. What does this passage teach me about the Lord Jesus Christ, about God? What does it teach me about myself? And what am I going to pray as a result? Easy questions. What does it teach me about Jesus? What does it teach me about me? What can I pray in response to what I've learned? Get into the Bible. Be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also then, verse 6. Verse 7, sorry. Continue to live in Jesus, being rooted and built up in him. The metaphor changes slightly, doesn't it, here? You might think that they would be and grow in him, but Paul does shift the metaphor a little bit. You're to be rooted in the Lord Jesus, and you're to be built up in him. I've had to learn a little bit about building projects in the last year. It's been pretty painful, if I'm totally honest, to learn about building. and what's involved in building. We've had an extension built on a house we bought, and it's, well, you learn a few things. You learn that there's a lot you don't know, that's for sure. But you also learn that it can be rather stop-start. It really can. With our building project, it started in a rush back in February, March. It seemed to be flying along, no hitches, and we thought we were going to be in by summer. No. And it just stopped. For reasons that I won't go into, but it did. And for ages, it just seemed to sit there, and it was so frustrating. Nothing was happening. Didn't feel like anything was getting built. With thanks to some very wonderful people, it's moving again. And it's getting there. But this is what it's like to be built up and to grow as a Christian. There will be periods where it seems like you're growing rapidly. You're being built up rapidly. There'll be other times where it feels like a really hard slog. Nothing seems to be happening. It maybe even feels like a few bricks are being knocked off. And you're shrinking. That is the Christian life, though. Sanctification, it's sometimes called, this growing in Jesus, this being built up as a Christian. It would be nice if the graph went from down here and was just a nice, off it went, off like that. I'm disappearing off screen now, but there it goes. It would be lovely if it was just like that, nice and steady, wouldn't it? It's not, though. It is much more like this. Isn't it? That's the way it goes. Don't be surprised by that. If you're like me, the last year, with all its challenges, might have felt very, 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 very jaggedy. And you wondered what was going on. But keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Things start to go a bit wrong when we take our eyes off him. We need to be built up in Christ. We need to look to him. Now that happens, as we've already said, through reading the Bible and prayer. That will get you well rooted in Jesus so that you grow. But we're also built up by other means as well. A very important one is we're built up by one another. We're built up by one another. We need one another. Often the Sunday right at the end of the year, Lou and I attend a different church, so we weren't here last Sunday with you on Zoom or in the building, but we went somewhere else just for one Sunday as we were on holiday. We joined the live stream of Carey Baptist Church in Reading, actually. A friend of mine, David McGowan, was preaching. He had a brilliant illustration about the church. He had a few, actually. But one of was how the church is made up of bricks, living stones, that are built together to form the church. The cornerstone, the big one, that all the rest are lined up to, is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read about that in 1 Peter, for example. He is the cornerstone of the building. And then all the other bricks line up to Jesus and are built on and around him. But what David did was, he looked around the room in front of him and he had some... I keep wanting to walk away from the camera, sorry. Hard to stay still. He had some big cardboard boxes. The biggest one had Jesus written on it. And then he had lots of other littler ones. It's just after Christmas, isn't it? So he had plenty lying around. He'd wrap them in brown paper. And then he would pick one up and he would look at around the room and he would say, who've we got? We've got Ben. And he'd write Ben on it and put it next to Jesus. But of course, he wouldn't then take another big stone with Jesus written on it and plonk it over there and find another person and say, right, John, and put that one next to Jesus over there. No, they're all built around each other with Jesus as the cornerstone. They all rely on Jesus, but they hold each other up as well. So the building is built. We need one another. That's been quite a challenge to keep being there for one another in the last year, hasn't it? It's not been easy. It's hard when we can't all just gather together in one big group and chat, when we can't just go into one another's houses and have a cup of tea and a biscuit together. It's harder. But it's so important. If we're going to be built up in Christ, we need one another as living stones who draw our life from Jesus and who encourage one another to look to Jesus too. We need to be rooted in Jesus. We need to be built up in him as living stones together. Thirdly, established in the faith. Established in the faith. It's fascinating if you wander around Ingleton. In fact, you could probably look out, I'm not sure, maybe on these ones just over here on over the road. If you look at some houses, over the lintel, there'll be a date, won't there? Or if you go to a shop and find a business of some sort, it might be a shop, it might be some other sort of business, it might have a little sign over it as well, or on the side of a van. Established. And then it gives you the year. These ones out here were established around 2010, 2011, because I remember sitting in my office upstairs and looking out and seeing them being built in my first year here. Those ones are fairly new, established back in 2010. But as you go into the village, you find some really, really old ones. I think there's one that I saw with a date of 1730-something. I should have gone and checked before today, shouldn't I? But I didn't. But it's around then. It's a long time ago, and it's still standing. And there'll be others that are probably even older, that have got the date above them. And that was the point at which they were a habitable dwelling, if you like. They became somewhere that people moved into and began to live there. In that sense, they were complete. Of course, the older ones have had bits added over the years as well. All sorts of little extensions. They've been established, but there's lots of other bits that have been added on. Again, the Christian life is a bit like that. When you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that made you a habitable dwelling for Jesus by his Spirit. He moved in. At that point, you were established in the faith. But of course, a dwelling needs plenty of ongoing work to make sure it remains fit for dwelling. It might have a few alterations made here and there. To be established in the faith means that you are somewhere that is now permanently a dwelling place. You were set up as such, well, you could give three dates of when it happened. It happened when you trusted in Jesus. It happened when Jesus died. It happened when God chose you in eternity past. But you are now established as a dwelling place of God, so stay established as such. Alterations will have to happen for that to continue to be the case. And Jesus will be at work in you. Make sure you're open to him doing that. Ask him how you need to change. How you need to grow. So that you're a better dwelling place for Jesus by the Spirit. Remember, Jesus is what you need for life. Be rooted in him. Be built up in him. Be established in the faith as he dwells in you. Is that what you're looking for this year? Whatever this year brings, whatever God brings into your life, whether it's seemingly easier than last year or seemingly harder, it's so that you will continue to live in Jesus. It's so that you will sink your roots into him. It's so that you will be built up in him, so that you will remain established in the faith with him dwelling in you. God is in control. He works all things for good, doesn't he? Those who are his people, so that you'll be more like Jesus. Let me conclude by just reading the whole of verses 6 and 7 again. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, being rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. We thought earlier on about things to look back over the last year and think, yes, I'm grateful for that. Well, here's one thing for which we can be overflowing with gratitude. we've received Christ Jesus as Lord. Those of us who have repented and put our faith in him have received Christ Jesus as Lord. We get life. And nothing can take it away. We get life as we are rooted in Jesus, as we are built up in Jesus, as we are established in the faith. And he lives in us. Isn't that great? We can look forward with great hope for a year ahead. With great gratitude, overflowing with it in actual fact. When we fix our eyes on Jesus. And ask that we would do as we're told here in his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us the gift of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that there was a time when those of us who know you, Lord, received you as Lord, received you as Saviour, were made alive in you. So we ask that in the year ahead, in the rest of our lives, you would help us to continue to live in him and him alone. Lord, help us to sink our roots deep into the Lord Jesus Christ as we get into his word prayerfully and ask that he would speak to us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to build one another up in Christ in the year that lies ahead, to find ways to do that, even if it's not the ways we were always used to, that we would encourage one another, rebuke where necessary, build up in the likeness of Jesus. Lord, we pray that we would indeed be established in the faith, a house where you live, where you love to dwell, in and amongst your people. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness to us. In Christ's name, amen.